Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, who will believe? It's Martin Luther King's birthday. I just want to read this little bit from Martin Luther King. So to start the day, start things off right, I just want to read it because, you see, I love Martin Luther King. I love what he stood for. And it's unfortunate when at the time he died, most of the people hated his guts. So I just want to read this, and I'll talk about him just a little bit, but I want to read this little bit here. It reads, "We will suffer and die if we have to." That's big. We will suffer and die if we have to, if we have the right frame of mind. You got to have the right frame of mind to think on this level. So he says, "I don't know what would happen now. We have got difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me because I have been to the mountaintop. Anyone else, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned with that. I just want to do God's will, whatever that is. I want to do God's will, not man's will, God's will. It's really about, it's God. He gives each and every one of us a mission. He gives each and every one of us a mission. And we have to fulfill that mission if we're going to get into heaven. You got to." Then he goes on to say, "I would like to live a long life, but I'm not concerned with that. I just want to do God's will, and he will allow me to go up to the mountain." He goes on to say, "I see the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I am not happy. I am happy tonight. And I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Well, you all know the story of Rip Van Winkle. Now, that's one of the greatest stories that you would ever, ever hear. Everyone remember that Rip Van Winkle slept for 20 years. But what is important is that when he went up on the mountain to sleep, there was a picture of King George of England hanging in the town. When he came down, there was a picture of George Washington in his place. Rip Van Winkle slept through a revolution. That's right. Rip Van Winkle slept through a revolution. But we cannot afford to remain asleep. Our world is our neighborhood. We must develop a neighborhood because right now, a lot of black communities don't have a neighborhood. We must all learn to live together as brothers and sisters. We must all learn to live together as brothers and sisters, regardless. Or we will all perish as fools. There are two challenges to America. The challenges are racism and poverty. In a few weeks, a few of us are going to Washington, D.C. to to see if we will be able to meet these challenges, still live among us. We are not coming to engage in any historical action. We are not coming to tear up Washington, D.C. We are coming to engage in dramatic nonviolent action. We are coming, and we will stay as long as we have to. We will suffer and die if we have to. For I submit, nothing will be done until people put their bodies and soul into it. That is a beautiful, beautiful statement. Nothing will be done, nothing, until people put their body and soul into this, into anything. We have to make sure we're doing what we should be doing. And stop thinking it's all about you. It's not about you. It's about the future of our children. 450 years. And look at us. We are a lot better than this. A lot better. We have to learn to do what we need to do in order to get things done. If Martin Luther King was alive today, he would be very disappointed in our success rate. He's not the type to holler and scream. He's not that type. But, listen closely, he will be very disappointed and what we have accomplished since his death. Right now, he's turning over in his grave. He is very, very, very disappointed in our actions. That's right. I'm disappointed. So I know he is. I know that right now he said, I made the supreme sacrifice for the future of our children. And what I see, I don't like. He said, I never known black. Well, I guess he did know, but he just didn't say nothing about it. To be like they are now. We have so many sellouts that's on steroids. And that's why it's so, so important that we have the Sambo of the Year Award. That's why that was so, so important. See, a lot of times people just don't get it, you see. But that was one of the most important things. I think even Martin Luther King was applauded that, even though he was more of a humble type guy. Because I don't know whether I would have been out there turning the other cheek. I just don't see myself turning the other cheek. I don't see it. You know, you sick your dog on me, I'm going to go get my two pit bull. And you're talking about, we don't have a problem, you know. We're going to have a major problem, you know. And that's how I see it. You know, I see it, see things just this way, you know. But it's unfortunate. See, can you imagine, you know, our justice system? You know, we got to demand justice, not only in Benton Harbor, but around the nation. And to see, you know, what's really happening today is almost sickening. It is hard to believe that in the year 2023, we have a county in Michigan with a legal system this antiquated and racist. What is even harder to believe is that no one at the state or national level is taking action to remedy the situation. We cannot run a society for the privileged and allow significant proportion of the population to be marginalized. it impacts the quality of life for all of us. If we have a throwaway people, a justice system will tolerate injustice is doomed to collapse. Sooner or later, it's just a matter of time, but it's not going to do it unless the people put the pressure on them. We have to put the pressure on them. If we don't put the pressure on them, none of this is going to work. We got to change the way we do things. We got to change the way things are. You know, and I say this. See, I'm not going to waste my time on some of the things I did last year. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to get mad at anyone about anything anymore. I'm just going to better understand or be more understanding of who I'm dealing with and make the proper adjustments. That's my plan. That's all I'm going to do. Because to move my black brothers and sisters is a very, very difficult task. It's something that you can't do. You almost have to be in the middle of something with them in order for them to understand. And it has to be about them. See, that's how the county, the city, the state, the country get away with what they do to black people. Because most of the time, the average black person is not going to help his neighbor, the person that lives across the street, the person that lives on the other side of him. The average black person, unless they can get something out of it. And the system knows it. See, the system is working the system against you. That's what they do. The system is working the system against you. And that's the way it is. They're working it to make sure that they keep their foot on your neck. And anybody who stands up to them, they're going to do everything in their power to crush them with the help of one of your brothers and sisters. Because they do things for money. Their motivation is money. They want materialistic things. They want to build a rapport in the neighborhood like they got money. They don't, you know, they don't work hard and got money and stuff like that. That's what they do. You see, we're dealing with a monster here. We're dealing with something that's almost unbelievable here on Martin Luther King birthday. I know I can see him now just turning over in his grave. Could not believe what is happening today. Could not. I don't care what a person say. What's going on today, we should be embarrassed. We should be embarrassed about the progress we have made since the death of Martin Luther King. We should be embarrassed. You got white people here in Benton Harbor giving out awards to white people. They gave the Martin Luther King Award to Fred Upton, one of the biggest racists in the whole world, the heir to the Whirlpool, the biggest racist in the whole world. They had the nerve to give this guy the Martin Luther King Award. That was a slap in every single person that lives in Benton Harbor face and around the country. It was a slap in your face. But black people is not going to say anything to white folks. That's right. They ain't going to say nothing to white folks. They'll come up to you and say something. They'll come up to you and make a demand. But they won't come up with white people and tell them. They won't even do it. And they're not going to do it. You know. So, you know, we're dealing with something. We're dealing with something. You know what I'm saying? But we have to do what we have to do, whether we like it or not. We're at war. We're at war. This is a real war. This is not a nickel dime war. We're at war. That's what this is. And I hate to tell my black brothers and sisters, you're losing this war. You're losing. You're losing this war. You're not winning. I heard people say, oh, no, you're not winning. Matter of fact, they done brought in some new folks to take your place. That's right. It's not going to be in my tank. But they done brought in some new folks, and they're right at the border to take your place. They're willing to work for one-third of what the average black person willing to work and do a better job in some cases. They're willing to work for one-third of what they pay you and do a better job. Now, that's saying something, you see. So the correct term here, they're bringing in some new folks for you. Yeah, they're bringing in some new folks just for you. So you may as well brace yourself for them because they're here. They're bringing 30,000 in a day, and they're going to continue to bring them in. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, if Martin Luther King was here today, you know, he would have a fit. He would have a fit. And just to think about you going to die for these people who don't even like you, did you know that when Martin Luther King was assassinated, he was set up? I don't know how true this is, but they said Reverend Jesse Jackson lured him out on that balcony. True or false? I don't know. I don't know. True or false? It looked awful peculiar to me. Yeah, they said. But they didn't like Martin Luther King. He was one of the most hated individuals at that time in the whole wide world. He was hated by people in the community. I read this book, The Death of a King. And I was in prison when I read it. I was in prison when I read this book. And I must have read it about four or five times because I kept thinking I was missing something. That book made me cry. I had tears in my eyes. All the work and the sacrifice this man made, and you got black folks hating his guts. They hated him. I mean, really hated him. The hate was so thick. It was almost embarrassing. They did everything they could to destroy him. They even reported some of the people in his camp that he was cheating on his wife. That's, you know, that's what they said. He was cheating on his wife. And they leaked it. You see, they hated him that much that not only would they destroy him, but they destroyed his family and everybody else. You got to get that book, The Death of a King. Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley wrote this book, The Death of a King. And it told the story of the hatred of all the black people who actually hated his guts. Hated. Hated his guts and wanted him to die. That's right. And wanted him to die. Wow. Unbelievable. But he has so much power, so much going for him, that he was sent by God. That's right. You could tell his work is the work of God, what he went through. I could never be him. They're talking about turn the other cheek. Yeah, I'll turn it. It won't be a pretty picture either. But you got to remember that this is crucial. More you do for people, the more they're going to hate you. They're not going to like it because they want to know why you helping me after you done helped them. I get so many calls from people who want me to help. Let me tell you just real quick. I'm going to tell you real quick. And I'm ringing a net because I want to talk today about Mickey D's and all that. I want her to really express herself because but it's just that it's so good. This girl called me and wanted me to help her. Her son is in jail. Well, let me start at the beginning. Her son just got out of prison here in Michigan, and he went up to Chicago without permission. Because when you're on parole, you got to get permission to go across state lines. You can't go to Chicago, Illinois, without getting permission from your parole officer. So this young man goes to Chicago without the permission of his parole agent. And he get caught. He was in some kind of, I don't know the crime, but it was a pretty serious crime. And she called me. She asked me, could I help her? I thought, she, you know, I know some people in Chicago who I can send to get some information for you. And then I'll get back with you. So what I did, I sent some people to get the information. They told me that he was in trouble, big trouble, and that he's not going to be coming back to Michigan for that parole violation until they solve the problem there. He said they don't know what they, you know, can do to help him. But anyway, she called me. She left me a message on my answer service saying that she stood up for me and all this. I don't know what she was going driving at. So she didn't. People here in Benton Harbor, when I was going through my trials and tribulations, they did not stand up for me. Only my group did. But they didn't. They didn't come to the court hearing. They wouldn't write a letter. They wouldn't do none of that stuff. So anyway, I called her and asked her about it, you know. And, you know, and just to, you know, make the record clear that she did not stand up for me. I wanted to help her. But that don't mean nothing, you see. My obligation, you asked me to help you. My obligation is to help you. So I asked these people to help you in Chicago, and they did what they could, but they said they're still going to work on it and see what they can do for them. And after I told her that, she hung up the phone. And I guess she was, you know, she was angry, but she saw that we were working on it. And I don't know what, but I really don't care. Like I said, I don't care. But this is what you're dealing with when you try to help people. This is what you get when you try to help people. That's black folks. Black people are the hardest people in the world to help. Yeah, when you helping black people, you talking about something hard. It's hard to help black people. No matter what, it's hard to help them, you see. So you have to do what you have to do and not worry about them. So we've been fortunate. We have gotten 28 guys that have did a total of 1,200 years in prison. That's about an average of 63 years each one. We've been fortunate, and they use my expertise and my knowledge in one of my lawyers to do it. But it costs a lot of money to get somebody out because their family is not going to spend a dime if they can help. They're not going to spend a dime. And I say this because we have been in touch with maybe 40 to 50 of we've been fortunate to get 28. We're going to get two more out this year. But we've been fortunate We've been fortunate to get these people released. Normally, I just do my part, you see. I got a part that I got to do, and I do it, and I'm the anchor. I'm the one who starts it. I'm the one who selects the people to be released. I'm the one who do the paperwork. I'm the one who's doing all this to get the person released and also working to put the money up because it takes money. You just can't get a person. First of all, they got to have a psych, and that's about $5,000. Then you got to have the lawyer. That's about $3,000-$4,000, and it's money. It costs about $10,000 per person. Let's put it that way, to get them out. But I don't want to see nobody in prison who can get out. I don't. That's me. I do not want to see nobody in prison who can get out. And that's how I feel, you know. Even the lawyer asked me, he said, well, why do you commit yourself on this level? I said, because the mission is ordained by, it's not me. It's not something that I would, you know, just thought about doing. And that's like I had no knowledge and no skills of doing this. But to get people released from prison, is a real challenge. But here's the thing. I don't want nobody eating that prison food. I don't. I ate it. And I tell you, it's the worst thing in the whole wide world. There's nothing worse to me than eating prison food. No. Some of the prisons had good food, cold water. They probably had some of the best. And then they, on the transfer I was going through, Kinross, they had pretty good food. But the rest of them, bugs infected, you name it, the food was just that bad, you know. And I was trying to teach them, people, on how to do. And I had a job to do. My job was to get as many people educated as possible. And that's what I did. I got as many people as possible educated while I was in prison. You know, I believe that changed a lot of people's lives, and I believe that we can help each other rather than sit around and doing nothing. But it's amazing. But like I said earlier, Martin Luther King is not happy. He's dead and gone, but he's not happy with the progress we have made. It's just that bad. I mean, nobody. I heard people say, oh, we made a little product. No, we haven't. We worst off today ever been. Look at that school system. They don't even educate the kids no more. And if the parents is not educating them at home, they're not going to get it. I'm not saying that the teachers are bad, but they fall in the same program, the system. It's the system that's bad. It's not the teachers. I don't think so. I think it's the system itself that's bad and that has created this. It's unfortunate, but true enough, it is what it is. I'm going to be bringing in my first guest, Annette, and we're going to talk about McDonald's. We're going to talk about other things, and also there's two lawsuits that you people can sign up for. I know how black folks is, because we got a lawsuit here for this water thing. And to get black people to do anything is a real challenge, you see. And like I said earlier, the hardest people in the world to help is black people. No matter what you do, to help them, you almost have to take them, dunk their head in the water, hold their head down till they can't breathe, then let them up and tell them, now take a glass of water. That's how they operate. Fortunately, that is true. But at this time, bring in my good friend Annette. And Annette, talk to me about what's really going on. Because this is Martin Luther King Day. And we want to make sure that we're doing all the things we're supposed to do and taking this thing to a whole different level. And that, talk to me.
Yes. Good shalom, brother. And
all right.
I just want to say I saw one of the most inspirational speeches, and it was the Honorable Farrakhan, who just called all Black people around the world a call to action for us to unite, no matter what our religion, no matter what our skin tone, no matter what our community, that we as Black people, that we unite and we do what we need to do for ourselves. And like he said, wherever we where we are right now. And that's why it is so, so important. Again, we are asking everyone, please get your calendars, please get your paper, and please get a pen. And when you know what you're doing, you know why you are doing it, it encourages you and it helps you to teach others to do it. Because, again, when we all come together, no matter what city we may be in, no matter what country we may be in, if we're all united and moving on one accord, this is exactly what happened to us. So the first thing we want to remember, please tell every single person to make sure you call every Sunday. It's Scholar Sundays with Reverend Pinckney, 5 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Eastern on Mondays. So make sure you put that down. Sundays, 5 o'clock, everybody call in, because if everybody's calling in, you'll be able to hear what is going on. You can be able to write down what we're going to be doing for the next week. So each week when you call in, be listening with your paper and pen. Make sure, just like me, I try to get out to all of my contacts when the show is getting ready to air to be a reminder. So if we can get our, again, it is so important to try to really pull our churches on board. This is going to be huge, because what we want to do with these particular lawsuits, we're going to be dispersing these funds that we have. Again, this is the Black Farmers, this is the Legacy Black Churches, along with the Davis Brother Lumber Company. This is our forefathers, and this is the generational wealth that they left to us. But they were a part of the Share Our Wealth Society with Huey P. Long, whom Huey P. Newton is named after. And again, this was the white Davis. Huey P. Long's sister married one of the Davis brothers, who actually signed the deed with my great-grandfather. And they wanted to buy everybody in the United States a house, furnish the house, a car, free health care, free education. And again, this can be possible, because one of the things what they believed in is no man too rich, no man too poor. Every man's a king. Every woman's a queen, and no one wears a crown. The jurisdiction of the state of Louisiana is a sovereign state. By being a sovereign state, that means, and again, I put the definition up on my Twitter page to let people know, this is a jurisdiction where you are a king and you are a queen of anything of your property. And it's separation of church and state. And like you said, I know my great-grandfather, after all that they did, and like you say, we're going in the wrong direction. I told the oil company and the state of Louisiana, Governor Edwards, along with the treasurer, this my great-grandfather is turning over in his grave like a rotisserie chicken. over and over and over. He's not resting. He's not resting in peace, knowing what he left for his children and his great-grandchildren and the many generations to come, to only know that you are stealing it and hiding it and making, oh, my God, I could not believe the information that has been revealed. And one of the things is that you just said that was just so profound, Reverend Pinckney, was when you said this education system. That is so true. The model that they have set up for the children of today, of the education indoctrination, is that they want you to be a slave. It wants you to be an educated slave. And we want to educate people how to have financial literacy, because it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a ditch digger. It's very important to understand financial literacy and how to make your money make money and be able to have a business, to be home-based business, to write off these taxes. But at the same time, we want to maximize our churches and our HBCUs to be able to have tax-free, exempt from separation of church and state. So therefore, the IRS is not getting more of your money than you are. So it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep. And that is what we are in the process of doing. And just like you said too, you know, this where they have all this mass incarceration, we're going to have to do something about that. I'm asking everyone, please, please let's come together and speak up for Grandmaster Jay. He was the one with the NFAC that was going to the different cities to make sure that they were showing that we're here to support our community. We're not here to start anything, but we're here to make sure we stop anything. And that is what the Deacons of Defense, which is the hometown that I grew up in, and, you know, we're recruiting for Daughters of the Defense as well, of the Deacons, because we're going to have to come together and protect our communities, nurture our communities, and at the same time, I'll be on one accord. So this is, like you said, Martin Luther King, but I look at, you know, I was been watching the Civil Rights series with the Smithsonian, and they have been just fantastic stories. But as I was looking at the one, and I'm down here in Georgia, and seeing how he talked about how all the other organizations, the auxiliaries, the churches, along with the social groups and the students, how everybody was organizing. And this is what we're going to need to go back to in order to make change. So, So again, on McDonald Monday, everybody, this is so important, and make sure that not only that you not do it, but try to make sure every single person that you know, make sure they know. And even if we have to go out to the stores, this is huge. One of the things with Martin Luther King, let's kick off the Blow the Whistle campaign. We're going to be blowing the whistle. I mean, I was watching the nurses, and they were up there, okay, let's start selling some whistles. That's a great home-based business. They have 7,000 nurses out there. Okay, that's $7,000 right there. So, again, we can create jobs. We can create awareness. We can be able to bring, again, us as a people, the concept of us working together. So on Ticket Tuesday, no lottery tickets, and I keep seeing how they didn't get any winners, so now it's getting even bigger. It's going to be the biggest, have you seen that? The biggest jackpot, the second big. Mm-hmm. So how much money are they getting before you even get it? And it's nothing but a scam. So please, even if we're going to be doing lottos and lottery. Now, let's do our own everything. Let's do our own to make sure that black people, if you're going to get the money, it's going to go to somebody black. So we can be able to do these things on Ticket Tuesday, no gambling and no lottery tickets. Wednesday, Walmart Wednesday. Do not go to Walmart, no Mart stores, no 7-Eleven, AM, PM, the Jiffy Mart, the Quick Mart, the Kmart. Do not go to no Mart stores on Thirsty Thursday. This is a huge day. This day is very, very big because we're dealing with oil, we're dealing with control, we're dealing with energy, we're dealing with control, we're dealing with gasoline and no alcohol, no alcohol or gasoline. And again, when we're actually moving as a unit, know that you're moving in a unit, no matter what city you're in. If you get ready to go and it's on Thursday and your tank is low, say, oh man, okay, I tell you what, instead of going to the gas station, I'm just going to see if somebody can pick me up or if I can take public transit or if I can bike it. Or it is so important to stick together and know what not to do on every single day. Foreign Friday, do not go to no foreigners. And we're going to demand that the foreigners, they better support the black stores as well. Not just we don't go to them, but you better come to us because they're getting ready to have the Chinese New Year, and we letting them know it's going to be a Chinese and a black New Year that's going green. So anybody who worked with us, we'll work with them. Anybody who don't work with us, this is the way that we weed out these no good businesses and people who are in our community. And if you're not supporting us, we're not going to support you. And of course, Sabbath Saturday, please keep the Sabbath holy, because when you break one, you break them all. So this is very important. And I think that, again, when we're doing and making a conscious effort, even if you don't do everything every time, every day, if you are being very conscious, really trying to get that word out, tapping in, sending out. Now, with the two lawsuits, this is, oh, my God, I can't tell you how big this is. Please Google Davis Brothers Lumber Company, Ansley, Ansley, Louisiana, L.A. You want to Google the Davis Brothers Lumber Company. On there is a lot of information for the history, the again, the documents from this is the history all the way up to the company. And if you click on the Open Corporate page, Open Corporate page is the company operating in real time where we are attached to the Pandora Papers on YouTube, Pandora Papers that has been linked to $50 trillion with James S. Henry, just pull him up. He is an analyst that has been working with Havens since 1985, who has validated that they can assure that this is a minimal, the least amount is $50 trillion. Now, what we need everybody to do, you're going to see some numbers that we say *67. *67, it just blocks your number, and it gives you that privacy. What we're saying is for every contact to the governor, to the judges, and to the clerk's office, this is a case that has already been won. As a matter of fact, it was won before it even got started. So because the case has already been won and they're trying to sweep it under the carpet, and we got a fully favorable decision December 11th, 2012. We got a decision 10 years ago. So we need people to blow the whistle and uncover what has been hidden and what has been stolen. But again, please, everyone, make sure you log your contacts, your emails, your telephone calls, your when you get ready to do your, if you're doing faxes, whatever you do, make sure you write it down. Keep a log, because every single contact that you make, you will be paid. You will be paid for every contact, every letter, every post. You can just go all day long and you just say, okay, I got my post right here. Your posts are going to be your log. But make sure you know those days that you were posting, because when we get ready to come back and cash in, however many, now again, this is very important, we will be having checkers. And if the checker finds anything that is not valid, it kicks out your entire log. So you do not, you want to try to be as accurate as possible. You want to be as accurate as possible, but for every single, because whoever worked the hardest, they get paid the most money. And whistleblowers, these are whistleblower lawsuits,
let me ask you, you get
10%.
You don't have to live in Louisiana, dude, to sign up for that, do you?
No, because the company is in 117 countries. This is a whistleblower lawsuit, and this 600 journalists went to 117 countries and have discovered what has been called the Pandora Papers. And when you go on YouTube and just do Pandora Papers, you're going to see stories from around the world. Again, these are the world's elite who have been stealing this money, hiding this money. And again, I personally believe that this was the money from the Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Davis brothers, again, all over the Share Our Wealth societies. And when they did the Federal Reserve and they said, okay, give us your money, they took all of our money, and our money been making money, and they've been hiding it. And we actually have the original deeds. Now, this is what we're trying to really help people to understand. Please go to your grandmother's, maybe mother church, home church, because this is where you're going to first start finding out who your families are. And this is how we found out the land. This is how we found out the deeds. This is how we, because they would have separation of church and state. However, one of the things I want to say is I know that this is my wealth that is with Wes Davis that signed the deed with the Davis brothers, but their legacy was share this wealth. So I have been sent here to further the legacy of my forefathers, which is to take their wealth and to scatter it among, and please go to Huey P. Long speeches on YouTube. His, and he actually lays out the plan so everybody will be knowing exactly what to do.
All right then.
Okay.
Well, listen, hey, appreciate all that good information. We'll talk soon.
Yes. Everybody, right, let's blow the whistle and let's get paid. Thank you.
There you go. Bye now.
Okay.
All right. The one and only, Dr. Terrence, talk to me. I know this is Martin Luther King birthday, so I know you got a lot to talk about. So, hey, should have got on a little earlier. We could have made it happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was calling to just listen in on Martin Luther King. And one lady raising black children asked me a question, how we can teach Martin Luther King. And I told her that we need to teach the last 2 years of Dr. Martin Luther King. And if you need to find that, you can find it in one source called The Death of the King by Travis Miley, in terms of the truth about Martin Luther King. And so, number one, the people who were against Martin Luther King were your Native Americans, or you call your American Indians. The people who were against Martin Luther King was your Hispanics, your Latinx, who you call your Mexicans or Hispanic Americans, that group, your Latino group, who was against Martin Luther King was your European Americans, you know, European Americans, who we call white people, but in particular, mm-hmm. who was against Martin Luther King were white women. So mm-hmm. the white women were the ones who would spit, yell, and throw stuff at Dr. Martin Luther King. So why am I saying that? Why is this all important? Why this is important? Because the Civil Rights Bill of 1964 was not written by the Black Six. It wasn't written by A. Philip Randolph. It wasn't written by Martin Luther King. It wasn't written by James Farmer, Warren Wilkins, and others. No, it was written by white Southerners, just like when the Emancipation Proclamation supposedly freed blacks who were enslaved in the South but not in the North. It allowed those Southern states to have a big control over the Congress or House of Representatives. Just like the Three-Fifths Compromise, yes, black people were three-fifths human, but they were considered a special property above of a cattle. So therefore, if a slave owner had five blacks, that would account for three votes to allow that in terms of picking congressmen for that state. So why am I saying all this? Why I'm saying all this, because when they came up with the Civil Rights Bill, the people who hated Martin Luther King, in the last 2 years of Martin Luther King, black people turned on Martin Luther King. In the last 2 years of Martin Luther King's life, the black church turned on Martin Luther King. The black pastors are guilty of turning on King like they did when they turned on Jesus. That's the black church history. They are guilty. There was only one church that stood above the rest that allowed Martin Luther King to speak from 66 to 68 until he was killed. And that was Reverend Clegg's church down in the city of Detroit called the Shrine of the Black Madonna that had hosted Malcolm X as well as Martin Luther King. The black church are liars when they're talking about how they love King. They did King like they did Jesus. They didn't love Jesus when he was alive. They only loved him when he was dead. They didn't love Martin Luther King when he was alive. They love him now when he's dead. So the people who I told you who were against him, the American Indians, the mainland Puerto Rican or Hispanics, the white women, those people were added to the Civil Rights Bill, the same people who were guilty of trying to take our lives, trying to restrict us from being educated, trying to restrict us from having decent housing, trying to lock us up in prisons, trying to have us hang and beat to death. The same people who are guilty of every December 31st of hanging a black man to bring in the new year. Check the FBI stats on that. Those same people were added to a bill, and they created a word that did not exist. They created a word that did not exist called minority. And what they did was saying this is going to be for minorities. It's going to be for the Negro or the black, but the people who used to be our bounty hunters and used to hunt down runaway slaves, our people who used to own slaves, our people who didn't want to give up their slaves and had to go into the 1866 Indian Treaty to force them to give up the slaves and to force them to give reparations to the slaves, that group of people will now be added to the people who can be considered minorities, and that's American Indians, Native people, indigenous people, are guilty of that crime. They are guilty of the crime today as they were yesterday in terms of how they mistreat us people. So they were added to the group. The Hispanics who didn't do a damn thing to help out with civil rights, they were added to that group. White women who actually in 1705 to 1710 had the cause, if you look it up, Casual Killing Act, white women who were so violently entreating the African that they would beat them to death, that because the African was not a human being, it was caused loss of property, and to prevent them from being prosecuted and sent to prison for being for destruction of property, they created a bill called the Casual Killing Act to keep the vicious white women who killed blacks, both male and female, because sometimes the white woman would want that black woman to lick her. Sometimes that white woman would want that man to stick her. And then if she felt guilty, or the person may go, thought she was going to tell, would be beat to death. So that's where you have your women's movement coming in, where that white woman wants to be licked, and then you want that white man to be using a black man as a trick. That's what that buck breaking is all about. So those people were added to the Civil Rights Bill. And then as a result, if you look, in 1968, up until that bill, all these white-owned companies that were owned by white men had a massive shift where their wives, these white, all-white companies that are still all-white today, had a shift where their wife became 51% ownership and he was 49% ownership, and thus he became a minority business. So 85% of all minority businesses in the United States are owned by white women married to white men. 85% of all minority businesses are owned by white women, white men. That's the game they play. So you calling yourself a minority business means that you're kind of unintelligent and uneducated and you don't know your history. And that's why Malcolm X keeps telling you history rewards all research. So you have to figure it out. So King, from 66, 68, learned these things and started talking reparations from 66 to 68. He didn't want just money. He said he wanted everything. He wanted the land-based grant colleges. He wanted hospitals. He wanted blacks to be able to be lawyers, doctors, architects, engineers. He wanted the support of the white colleges that were designated for black people, which we call historical black colleges. He wanted that being addressed. He wanted the blacks to not have taxes, not be able to pay taxes. So reparations is not just about dollars. That's a nigger attitude. That's a stupid attitude and thought pattern that had been taught to us to be ghetto niggerish, that 300 years is going to be removed by a piece of change. No, that's stupid. That means you cracked up, weeded up, methane up, heroin up, crystal meth up. No. A check ain't going to replace that mental psychological damage that has occurred to you as a people, as a race. You know your self-esteem is so low. And if I said Jesus real quick, the first thing that comes to your mind was a picture of a white man? No, we've been damaged. We need to make sure that our generations, like you talk about our children, have all the opportunities and resources available to them. So we have to think hard, and they're trying to lock us in on a dollar amount, because once we accept that dollar, we can never, ever, ever, ever say that police brutality. We can never, ever, ever, ever talk about a hate crime, because we've said they reparated us, and that's it. And so now they can hate us without ill repute, and nothing would have changed. And mass incarceration would not have changed. Nothing would have changed. So the things that King was trying to change, when Roy Wilkins and James Farmer told King, look, you're Martin, not Malcolm, because Martin Luther King switched from civil rights, because he already had passed the civil rights bill, to human rights, and that's what they don't want you to know. That's why they want to do these King programs and be in control of people who didn't love King, care about King, and can't even tell you the real thing about King when it's out there in his own writing, in his own words. King said, I'm afraid I integrated my people into a burning building, because he did not want integration like we wanted. He only wanted to integrate the school system and public facilities, because he felt that if a white person would not deny their own children a good education, so if we can integrate the schools, then black kids can get the same books and exposed to the same knowledge as their white kids. No. What we see now, what happened, is the whites just moved their kids out of the school. That's why you have a Benton Harbor with a black school system. That's why you have a Detroit with a black school system, a black South Side Chicago with a black school system, a black school system in Flint. So that did not work. Integration was founded by house Negroes. sellout Negroes, buffoons, coons, and then within, and quoting you, Sambos. That's how it goes when it comes to what they were asking for. So King had broke away from the Sambos and said, we have to go. We got to get our freedom. And he didn't have a dream anymore. He had a plan, and he was calling out the black man to be a man, the black woman to be a black, to support the black man, because it was about supporting the black family. And that's when the black women sold out the black race. That's right. You black women got tricked, and many of you sold out the black race. You left the black race. You left Malcolm. You left King to go do a white thing. White women didn't have jobs. Black women had 2 and 3 jobs. So white women were trying to get jobs and call themselves a women's movement. And black women who are dumb and white educated, I'm saying dumb and white educated, left the human rights, civil rights movement to do a woman's right. And a woman's right is stupid. It's stupid. How you as a woman been here 300 years, 40 years, been raped and been mutilated, desecrated, where you have to work 3 and 4 jobs sometimes to feed a family, going to stand in a crowd of white women who were not allowed to work. All they were allowed to do was stay home and bone their husband. And they wanted to have jobs. And here you are trying to cut down the number of jobs you have to be with your family. No, you got bamboozled, you got played, you got took. What the whole issue should be about the black family. What did they do after King? They created also the single family homes. How a woman gonna have babies without being with a man? And what we know at that particular time, that 75%, almost 80% of all the black households had husband and wife. All the black households had husband and wives, and now you create single family homes, and black men had to start being in halfway homes from Monday through Friday, so that their children and their wife could live in a nice home. And so King was against that. King was against the separation of the black family. So they created the social, they created social welfare, which is warfare. They created welfare, which is warfare against the black family. Welfare has nothing to do to help and support the black family. It keeps you in a destitute state of mind, and it makes your young girls in the holes because they want to get a baby so they can get a check. So you're still getting paid for being screwed. So these are the things that we have to start to come real with now, that we have to start rebuilding the black family. It's not about a woman to woman. It's not about a man to man. It's not about man rights, woman's rights. It's about black family rights. So we have to get it right when it comes to that. King was about black families.
Yes, he was. And listen, hey, this is a good conversation. Let's finish this baby up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock show. Hey, I expect you to be on, and let's make it happen.
Amen. All right. See you tomorrow, Martin Luther King.
That's too much knowledge for a man. You got to share that with everybody.
Amen.
So let's make it happen. And on that note, tomorrow 1 o'clock, tune in. Don't forget. This is important. Talk to you all tomorrow 1 o'clock.